Good morning. I'm here today to talk about how to discern the difference between truth and beliefs. Obviously, or at least at some point, it becomes obvious. Maybe it's not obvious immediately, and maybe it's not obvious to everyone. But at some point it becomes obvious that this is the primary confusion in the world today. The confusion between beliefs and truth. And even those of us who are on the spiritual path, even if we've been on the spiritual path for a long time, most of us still have this primary confusion. We may have let go of some beliefs that were a part of what I'll call our worldly ego. But what most of us haven't noticed is how the worldly ego has just been replaced with a spiritual ego, which means it's taken on spiritual beliefs that are still not truth. But we believe their truth just like we used to believe our old worldly ideas were truth. So the question that needs to be answered, if we truly want to be clear, and not just imagine ourselves as clear, is what is the difference between a belief and truth? The primary difference between a belief and truth is that there are differences in beliefs. There is no difference in truth. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about the beliefs regarding one person, Jesus. Most of us have an idea of who that person is or was. And most of us have beliefs regarding that person. And those beliefs vary greatly, even within a common spiritual community. Here are some of the beliefs I've heard about Jesus. Jesus was the fully awakened mind that came into incarnation, fully awakened, to help awaken us. Jesus was just a person like us. He woke up during his 40 days and 40 nights in the desert and then lived as an awakened, enlightened being. Jesus was a person just like us. He woke up in the last 24 hours of his life, or he woke up on the cross. Jesus learned everything he knew from an inner teacher. Jesus studied with the, what's it called, the Essenes? I forget what the group is called, but those people at Qumran. Jesus was a part of that Qumran community. That was his cave. That's where he sat. That's where he learned. He learned from the Essenes or whatever they were called. Forgive me if I have the name wrong. Jesus traveled to India. And Jesus studied with masters in India. This is where he learned what he knew. Jesus went to England at one point in his life. There's a place in England, a memorial, where you can go and visit the place that Jesus went to. There was no virgin birth. That is just a myth. Just like it's a myth that Buddha was born able to walk and lotus flowers grew in his footsteps. it most definitely was a virgin birth. It was a miracle because the body is not real and things do not have to happen in the way the body thinks they have to happen. Jesus was half alien. Mary was artificially inseminated by aliens. In that way, it was a virgin birth. There were actually two Jesuses, and the stories of the two men who lived at about the same time became mixed and is now one story as if it was one person, but actually it was two. There never was a Jesus. The entire story was made up. All of these events happened prior, or all of these legends existed prior, and it was all made up. There never was a man named Jesus from Nazareth. I could go on. I mean, I have more stories that I've heard, but I think I've made the point. And what happens is that we believe whatever we believe. And we believe we're right. And we believe people who believe differently are wrong. Those are beliefs. In my first year of studying A Course in Miracles, one day I was contemplating a workbook lesson. I don't remember which one. But clarity came into my mind during the contemplation that in the English language, there is only one word that really matters. And that word is, I-S, is. I remember I was at work at the time in my office and I wrote is on my whiteboard really big. You can't describe truth. Anyone who has any sense of truth knows that. But is a pretty good descriptor. If you had to pick one, is. There's no story in it. There's no past. There's no future. There's no differences. And it's not really, truly deniable. You might start trying to ask what is, how do I define is, what qualities does is have, and as soon as you start asking those questions, you're leading back into the ego. The very first recording that I made in this series of recordings was a recording about the question, who am I? Which would literally be the same as the question, what is? And I said that that question both leads into confusion and away from confusion. When I ask, who am I? Or if I ask, what is? And I start trying to define it and add qualities to it, and say, this is what it is, and this is not what it is. I'm leading into diversity thinking, separation thinking, and untruth. Literally, the question, who am I, or what is, is the question that the ego asks to put definition on things and to separate. But what's interesting is the corrective aspect of mind, which A Course in Miracles calls the Holy Spirit, but this corrective aspect of mind exists. It doesn't need a name like Holy Spirit, and certainly the word Holy Spirit does not exist in all traditions, for example, Advaita Vedanta. But the corrective aspect of mind is present. And the corrective aspect of mind uses the exact same question, who am I, or what is, to move back in the other direction, away from illusory definitions and illusory separation and illusory differences. When you're asking who am I or what is with the corrective aspect of mind, instead of taking on definitions, you notice the definitions the mind wants to apply, but you see through them, or you drop them, until you get back to no definition, none at all, not even the possibility of definition. Beliefs come from that definition. Beliefs answer different versions of the question, who am I or what is. Beliefs answer the question, what do I think is true? What do I think is false? What do I think is right? What do I think is wrong? What do I think is preferable? What do I think is not preferable? Beliefs are the result of these definitions. And even when we're on the spiritual path, that ego aspect of mind keeps asking those questions and keeps trying to find a definition. And so when it comes to the topic of a man named Jesus, it filters through the different stories, through the different ideas, through the different opinions, and it picks some. And then I believe this, and this is my truth. But it's ego. Here's what I try to do. First of all, I try to be very, very clear with myself on the difference between beliefs and truth. And I recognize my beliefs as just stories, fantasies, personal preferences, and therefore not important, meaningless. But I also realize that many stories, maybe all stories, can have helpfulness in them. And so when there is a story available, I look at the story to say, what might be helpful here? And if I find something helpful in the story, something that's truly helpful in awakening, something that points away from illusion, ego, back towards truth is emptiness, then I pay attention to that lesson for as long as that lesson is useful. Instead of believing the story, I extract the usefulness from the story and I use it. But I see stories as stories, and I never argue a story as true. I may tell a story. I may tell a story like, let's say Jesus was not awakened until the last 24 hours of his life. And let's say that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the way it's written in the Bible, let's say that's the truth. In other words, in this moment, let's look at it as if it is. I'm not saying it is. But let's look at it as if it is, and let's notice what happened to Jesus in that story. And I extract the usefulness from the story. without needing to believe the story is true and without it being my truth and without having to defend it. One way you can tell that you have a belief is through that desire to defend, through that desire to try and convince someone else that your version is true. And we have beliefs about a lot of things. I'm only using one small example. If someone else can disagree with you on a point, that point is a matter of belief. Is just that word without adding anything to it cannot be disagreed with. Truth cannot be disagreed with. You can't have opinions about it. There's nothing to have an opinion about. It's a very simple statement of fact. Is. What is? Let's not get into ego. Let's not go in that direction. Let's not start dividing and defining and adding to it. We're all going to tell stories. Right this second, I don't know a way not to tell stories. But can we realize their stories? Can we realize they have no true meaning? And the only value that any story has is the usefulness in it that points toward truth. If there is nothing in the story that points toward truth that helps us awaken, there's no value to the story at all. It might as well be dropped entirely. If I'm holding on to a story that has no value, then I'm only holding on to ego. I guess that's it. Have a good day. Bye.